Okay, welcome. Welcome to Newark, New Jersey, the Hilton Penn Station basement, I guess. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting. Members of the public, I apologize that we're running so late. Every once in a while, we slip behind schedule. If you wonder who I am, I'm Jack Van Aken, listener, sponsor, delegate, director from KPFK. I'm serving as chair pro tem just for today and maybe a little bit tomorrow. There have been some changes in the agenda that you may have seen. The election supervisor's report will be tonight. We'll have public comment early, and the finance report that was scheduled for this afternoon or this morning will be in tomorrow afternoon's agenda, I believe. And there will be time allotted for public comment during the WBAI focus station report at starting at about 9:45. We may move public comment up to the beginning of that agenda item. And I think we have one other opportunity, at least.
Jack, can I?
Bob, yeah.
Yeah, just our agenda calls for a second public comment under the diversity in Pacifica item, which looks like it'll happen sometime starting around 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. So we welcome members of the public. We are here, among other things, to hear your views expressed freely within the necessary time constraints. We thank you very much for being so patient with us and spending your evening with us. Also, to members of the National Board, there is a sign-up sheet circulating. It's essentially to indicate which committees you intend to run for. I don't know where that...
Over here.
Okay, it's over here. I'm informed that it may have sort of gotten stopped and hasn't reached everybody, so if we can keep circulating it. Yeah, we'll just send it back.
Keep sending it back.
Just keep it, leave it here because it's not...
People
don't get it.
Yes,
Bonnie.
All right. I've just been informed that we'll be vacating the room at 9:15. All right. Seeing as time is of the essence, I think we should go immediately to public comment. Yeah, and there'll be 2 minutes. 2 minutes allotted for each speaker. Do we have a? Is there any way we can get the microphone over here so members can address the? No, can't. Okay, well, the microphone is way the heck over there. Can't we take one of our mics and put it on that stand? I mean, we're going to be listening. We're not supposed to be talking. Yeah. It'll be feeding back to the speakers. Okay. All right. We'll have to leave the mic over there, and I trust John's judgment.
That's all right.
Yeah. Okay, and it's 8 o'clock p.m.
And how many minutes are allocated altogether?
Two minutes, and we'll do 30 minutes. 30 minutes of public comment. Okay, please go ahead.
Hello, I'm Sarah Flounders, an elected listener member of WBAI's local station board, and I want to address a struggle against racism in its ugliest form right here in the New York, New Jersey area at WBAI Radio. Where we stand and how we act on local struggles for justice is vitally important. As in so many areas of political struggle, there are often opposing factions and sides, and that's not new. This is political life. But in the New York, New Jersey area, we're faced with a group who call themselves ACE, or at other times independents, and they have allowed their factional differences to fester into a thoroughly toxic brew of racism that is beyond measure of anything I've ever experienced in the progressive movement. It's most dangerous in that there's an increasing willingness of this thoroughly hostile faction to call on the police, the state, and to involve the courts against people of color on the Justice and Unity board majority, in station management, and the programmers. And it's an extremely dangerous precedent. We can't be neutral about this, and ACE as a bloc deserves to be and should be censored for their outrageously divisive conduct. Just to give a few examples, the ACE bloc actually faxed and called the New York City Police Department in an effort to get a board meeting canceled, claiming they had reason to fear violence from people of color when there had been no threats and was no danger at all. They've made wild public written claims that people of color, such as respected leader Omawale Clay, who's a board member, have threatened their lives when no such threats were made. They've charged board member Serene Roberts with assault. Serene has years of loyal work to WBAI and is crucial in the tally room and fund drives and many other areas. She's now barred from the station. No such assault happened. They've used the same fear of threat of violence to call the union hall to get a scheduled public board meeting canceled. It's this kind of outrageous conduct. Everyone here today knows that ACE, or the Independents, held up the counting of ballots for more than 2 months in the elections, generating thousands of dollars in legal expenses by filing an injunction in the courts, again based on totally fraudulent claims. And they plan to continue these efforts to tie up WBAI in the courts.
Sarah, that's time. I'm sorry.
I'm next. I would like to yield my time to Sarah.
You'll yield your time? Okay.
Thank you.
What?
You can cede your time like that so somebody can talk on forever?
I've done it. I've done it. I've yielded mine a public comment.
I just get 2 minutes, not forever.
Yeah. Okay, 2 minutes.
This grouping has used bold-faced lies to disenfranchise listeners and to exclude poor people from voting. And it is very fortunate that just yesterday a New York State judge ruled against their maneuvers and finally ruled that the election can finally proceed. And amazingly, having stopped the elections through going to the courts in New York, they tried to set up a rump board of 7 members claiming that no new board had been seated, because they tied up the election in the courts. They've used illegal measures to harvest the names of listeners, and the National Election Supervisor found ACE grouping guilty on those charges. They've packed the office of the program manager, Bernard White, and threatened him. They've spread wild charges of assault, okay, pending assault, and threats of violence against him.
Hold on, I'm going to stop the clock. Could members of the public please be a little bit respectful? Okay, that's very good. Okay, we need to all respect each other, or try to at least make an effort in that direction. Okay, go ahead.
The ACE grouping continued a racist smear campaign against Bernard White that's so offensive, calling for him to be beaten with a baseball bat, set on fire. This is in emails. This is true, and it's absolutely reprehensible. During fund drives, they have widely circulated appeals to listeners claiming that their funds would be stolen and urging them not to send their money to the station, but to send it instead to the penthouse of the multimillionaire Steve Brown, because staff at WBAI supposedly can't be trusted. They have actually claimed in their emails widely circulated that Bernard White has intercepted and destroyed over 1,000 donations to the station. These are the kind of unfounded charges of corruption and theft so often used, and especially during vital fund drives on which the station relies. Again and again, they claim that WBAI is collapsing, is bankrupt, has no future. In closing, I want to say that the whole movement for change needs Pacifica Network and needs WBAI in New York. It's a voice for unity, for solidarity, and a strong stand in this station has always been taken against racism.
Okay,
I really hope the Pacifica board members take the time while you're in New York to talk with members of the local station board who had been under this onslaught of attacks, to talk with station management who've been forced to function daily under these attacks and slanders, and to read the simple fact sheets that we've handed out to you. And thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you. The next name I have, there's a sign-up sheet that I've been handed. The next name is Marquez. Was that the gentleman that yielded his time? Okay, now next I have Leah, and after that, Frank Lefebvre.
We didn't know there was a sign-up sheet.
Oh, okay.
Can you just add our names to it?
Okay, we've got Mitch, and is that Kathy? Kathy, and who else? Alex Steimer. Okay.
I'm on the sign-up sheet, by the way.
You what? Is that gentleman on the sign-up sheet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the fever. Okay, great. Okay. Anyone else who didn't make it to the sign-up sheet? Okay, fine. Leah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm Leah, and I just want to say how much I love WBAI, because WBAI expresses the things that are in my head and gives voice to it. But I have been shocked by going to the local station board meetings. I'm afraid to be there. It doesn't make sense. The minute Bob or Nia or somebody opens their mouth, the opposition calls Robert Rules. And this is maybe 10 times in the meeting. And if it's not Robert's Rules, it's a point of order, or it's someone looking at the audience with a nasty face. They fall asleep at the board meetings. They eat. And they look like they could just eat up the opposition. And I'm just shocked, and I'm afraid to go to those meetings, because they're so lengthy, and it doesn't seem like anybody can accomplish anything. Thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you. Next would be Frank Lefebvre.
I'm Frank Lefebvre, one of the plaintiffs in this suit. I won't fall into the trap of trying to demolish every one of the 20 or 30 outright lies or falsifications in the diatribe, which I think you will all recognize as propaganda by Sarah Flounders. I'd like to speak of delay. I've seen delay in publicizing the station for the last 3 or 4 years. I've seen delay in taking a serious look at the finances. And during this time when the JUC has been in control, I've seen membership fall by 1,000 members per year. I think we've got a delay in a recovery plan which should have started long ago. As regards the delay in the elections, that delay began right at the outset by a man who says, "Trust me, I'm a lawyer," who, by his violation of the law, delayed the mailing of the ballots right to begin with. I won't take time to go into the many other interventions in the course of the election, but at the time of our suit, it appeared that they were going to close the voting while something like 25 or 30% of staff members has still not received ballots, and I'm talking about people who had requested ballots repeatedly and not getting them. If they had done the right thing, there would have been no halt in the election. The votes could have been counted on the 17th. People would have been the election would have been certified. You'd have no doubt who was a director and who wasn't. I understand that sometimes interim executive director gave you quite a story about what the suit is about this morning. I wasn't here to hear it, but I'm here to tell you right now that far from delaying the elections, our intent was to complete the elections and complete it fairly. Okay. And the delaying tactics have been very evident from the Pacifica Council
Okay, Frank.
They showed
time.
Up at the hearings, at the negotiations, empty-handed, not a single affidavit. Every okay. opportunity in the book to delay, they have delayed. They feel the delay is in their favor for some
Thank
reason.
You. Thank you. Thank you. And Kathy Davis?
Thank you. Yes, I'm Kathy Davis. I'm the Public Affairs Director at WBAI, and I am a staff elected member of the WBAI LSB. I was recently elected as a vice chair. The meeting following that election, which actually turned on the toss of a coin, there was a motion to remove me from that position. In the interim, I, as vice chair, dissented from the other officers of the LSB in this election case. And I absolutely believe that this attempt to remove me as vice chair is just one more measure being used by the majority coalition to silence the voice of myself, not just myself, but staff as well. I found the statement, the opening statement, as we just started here, that Sarah gave was biased, and I felt that there was slander there, just as there's repeated slander being presented about, actually it comes from both sides. There's a lot of anger, there's a lot of slander. And I'm just hoping that this board will be able to look down the middle and see that anything as extreme as that opening statement would understand that there is some exaggeration in that statement. Now, for a long time, the Justice and Unity Coalition has made the argument that BAI is not in financial trouble. I promise you, BAI has some very serious financial problems. We've had two one-day fundraisers, Martin Luther King Day. On one day, we raised something in the order of $26,000. Another day, I think, we made $40,000. But having not done that, we would not have been able to pay our rent or meet payroll. We're in very, very serious financial difficulty right now.
Okay, that's
and I
time.
Believe we need to address those issues and not give false accusation over and over again.
Thank you. Mitchell Cohen?
I'm glad this started out the way it did with Sarah Flounders of the International Action Center, her opening statement. I know that multimillionaire Steve Brown certainly needs the money that he asked people to send to his apartment, even though he told people to write the name of WBAI and not his own name on the checks. So they left that out in their statement about who the checks were actually made out to, and he simply acted as a conveyor to bring thousands of dollars worth of checks to the station that was made out to the station. So he really needs the money.
Right.
I'd like to... On November 15th, when the election was supposed to close, loads of people had not yet received ballots, like places around the country, not only BAI. As we've said, 25 to 30% of the staff didn't receive ballot. Many of the, all of the petitioners and the plaintiffs in the lawsuit that we filed had not received ballots by the time the election was supposed to close. And in fact, many of us did not even receive them by the end of the following week, which was the extended close. In fact, I'd like to show my ballot. It finally came on November 30th, it arrived. And I was just about to mail it in, but I'd like to show, announce for the world that my ballot, in case it disappears somehow, it will be being mailed in. But it says ballot, on the envelope provided, it says ballot must be received by November, and then a number is crossed out on it, 2007. So this is what we were sent. I got this at the very last day of November, and there were no instructions with what to do with ballots, so a lot of people didn't know whether to send them or not, whether they'd be counted or not. So we filed a lawsuit to guarantee that people who had not received ballots by the close of the election, which we thought was November 15th, and we still insist that it is, had a right to vote and had a right to receive ballots. And that was the reason why the election, that is just very simple. I also am the, I'm also, in one second, the victim of an assault by Serene Roberts, who actually punched me at a meeting on the station's premises, and a complaint was filed with management. I didn't go to the police. I could have gone to the police, but I didn't want to subject Serene or others to that, or the station to that.
That's time.
And unless people want us to go in that direction, we could go in that direction, but I wouldn't recommend going in that direction or provoking people to go in that direction.
Okay. And this is... I have Patty Heffley next.
Hello, I'm Patty Heffley. I'm a former director of this board for 2 years, 2005 and 2006. I left like a lot of good people leave. I'm first curious how you could even seat the four members of the PNB here, because what legal documents were you given to even prove who was elected? There have been no minutes for the BAI local station board approved or even that I've seen since April 2006. So what documents did you even have to prove that any of these people are legitimate? I think you should look at that. In 2006 also, a PNB resolution was passed that called for a twice-a-year local station board chair report that was to report to the PNB its adherence to the bylaws, Section 7, Article 7, Section 3, A through M. There was one report only done. These are subcommittees that are governing committees. This is not funny. You should really be aware of what your local station boards are up to. You certainly were concerned today about that vote of flipping a coin, but no minutes for a year and a half from a board that you seated people that you have no legal records for. You know, you should. I hope you're paying attention to these people. Just remember all the new people. Facts are your friends. The facts are your friends. Don't be swayed by words or somebody's sympathetic ideas trying to, you know, they'll start calling you every day and trying to get you influenced to vote the way they vote. You're a member of this board of the foundation, and your first responsibility is to the foundation. It's not to your friends or to keep your little station or your little faction or your little group of people consistent. WBAI is nearly bankrupt, and there's no minutes, and there's if this new general manager doesn't like pull it out, then we are really in trouble. So I really hope that you guys will pay attention to the facts and not your people trying to influence you to vote a certain way or another over all kinds of reasons besides that this is a radio network.
Thank you. And Alex Steinberg, then I have Fred Nguyen, and Mike B. after that.
Yes, I'm Alex Steinberg. I'm a member of the WBI Local Station Board. I am also one of the plaintiffs in a legal case against Pacifica. I personally did not receive a ballot until November 23rd, which was the very last day that the extended election date was announced by the National Election Supervisor. Even though I had previously requested a ballot no less than six times, starting in the beginning of November. So this was one reason why we felt we had to bring this suit against the Pacifica Foundation. Now, what you've heard, particularly from the first speaker, was a series of well-constructed lies. I think some of the people who went before me did an adequate reply to these lies. But I'd like to speak a little bit about the political function that the lie serves. If you go back a little bit in history, there was a phrase in the 1930s called enemies of the people. This phrase was invented by the Stalinist bureaucracy in the Soviet Union to describe their political opponents, most of whom were members of the Bolshevik Party who had taken part in the revolution. This phrase, enemies of the people, was meant to divert attention away from the crimes of this bureaucracy that had, in fact, grown up to be a new ruling class, in effect, worse than and created a regime worse than that you had under the czars. So that was the function of political lies grew up out of the degeneration of progressives and revolutionaries and socialists. And so we have it here again today. The political lie is being used in order to shelter a clique that has dominated the political and institutional life of WBAI and has led it close to bankruptcy.
Okay, that's time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Fred? And then Mike B. and Serene.
Okay, I'm Fred Gwynn. I'm a producer at WBAI. I don't get paid, but I don't want to be paid. I have to talk. I'm going to try to talk briefly, but, you know, I think it's very sad what's happening at BAI. It's terrible. You know, I started being conscious of this because I was part of the people who helped take back the station, you know, in 2001. And I've been, since then, I've been on the listserv and, you know, reading all the stuff that goes on these listservs and also posting a lot of the stuff myself. But, you know, the thing that really shocks me is the tone and some of the stuff that goes on, calling people gangsters, you know, black people gangsters and violent and things of that nature. And the way I interpret this from being myself a person of color is, you know, it's code word. It's basically say it's a racist thing that's going on at Pacifica. And I think people should react to that. They should just not stay on the sideline and just say, ah, it's just people fighting amongst each other. It's very serious. At this point, there's a group of people who want to sue Pacifica, and they're saying, oh, we're broke. So then they sue us so we can even spend more money. You know, I mean, there's something absurd about this concept. Why would you want to do that? It's going to cost another $50,000. We could use this to do programming to pay some of the people to, you know, health care and things of that nature. All right, so they really don't stand for us. One of the people here in this room who's supposed to sit on the board says that I voted twice. Now, there's a barcode on those ballots, okay? And you can just go in the box and you scan them, and it's impossible to vote twice. So he sends messages on listservs that I don't even know why, and people say, hey, you voted twice, okay? It's slander. They just go on, and everybody tells me, you voted twice, okay? So anyway, it's very short. I just want to say I want to call on the people here at Pacifica to understand, take interest in what's going on at WBAI, and help us put order, you know, in the house and make sure that these kind of things don't happen. And racism cannot be part of what we're doing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Next I have Mike B.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mike B. I'm a listener member or a listener. Okay, let's put it that way. I am a member of Finance Committee for the last 5-6 years. I've been trying to track down the truth behind the financial statements. I'm still tracking down. But if you listen to the Audit Committee meeting of 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, you get to the core of what's happening at BAI from a financial standpoint. And that is incompetency, lack of procedure, lack of accountability, and it has nothing to do with the key person that everybody mentioned, the program director. The program director has no power to sign checks, has no power to hire and fire, even doesn't have the power to pull people off the air. He has to be the committee, by union, by unpaid union, paid union. So I advise you to vote tonight or early tomorrow morning to listen to the audit committee report. And listen for the WBI report where the auditor tells you what the financial situation is with the premiums, with the banking accounts, with reserve funds, with the fact that people do not respond to anything from national in terms of accountability and accounting standards. And hopefully you will tell the new GM coming in that he should either get on top of it right away and either make the people accountable or fire them and find new people. Thank you.
Okay. I have a couple of late arrivals who signed up. Tibby Brooks.
Sorry. Good evening. I'm Tibby Brooks from the WBAI LSB. And I was really offended when Mitch Cohen spoke about everything, because I come out of an anti-racist struggle in the movements. And to me, BAI has always stood for this kind of anti-racist thing. Whatever we say about anything, that has to be like the red thread that runs through everything. And Having been mugged 14 times in three countries, I have never gone to the cops. Police are for asking directions and for helping kids and little old ladies cross the street. The first time in my life, and everybody in the New York movement now knows it. I'm not saying that it was Mitch. I'm saying it was this whole collective that got together and CC'd the police precinct of Midtown South. How many times have I been through Midtown South for a CD? How many times have I waited outside Midtown South for other people who have been arrested? You don't shake hands with a cop. They're the enemy. We know about police brutality. And it's the first time in my life that I've been involved with a movement where other people called the cops on me. And I think this is a reflection of a lack of character. It's like when you look at these bourgeois presidential candidates and they're all for the death penalty. It is a character flaw. It's a basic flaw. And racism is a form of denial, of not seeing what's going on, of saying, no, 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 it isn't about racism. But yes, it is. Because I chose sides. And the sides are based on justice. And justice has a great deal to do. Class and race are intertwined in this country. And before you can talk about anything else, you have to look at what's going wrong and rotten. And I think it's really rotten to call the cops because the people in justice and unity happen to be of a different color.
Thank you.
And that's really what it comes down to.
Thank you. Jim Dingaman, and then Serene, and then that'll be it.
Yes. I'd first of all like to thank to have this opportunity to talk to the National Board and welcome those who've been newly elected. My name is Jim Dingaman. I was an unpaid staff member on the local advisory board in the early 90s, and I was among the first local advisory board members to speak out publicly about what was going on nationwide with Pacifica and the old National Board. And one of the things that we felt back then, which obviously is clear in this election process here in New York and elsewhere around the country, was we all felt that we had to have a direct election system that was fair, impartial, and honest. And I stress fair, impartial, and honest, so there would be no arguments like the ones we've been hearing today or for the past few weeks. That process has been impaired by, frankly, you know, I don't know what. But the National Board has to clean that up. That has to be cleaned up. Because the only reason why we wanted that in place was because we could reach directly to the listeners who pay with their monies. Because all of you know that 80% of the money comes from the listeners. And they're the ones who were being lied to in the past in the early 90s by the old National Board. And we had no way to get to them. You know, I should add, for a point of historical note, the present faction in power at the time, many of them were aligned with the old National Board. And that includes Amy, Bernard, and many others. That's a fact. They didn't change their minds until their jobs were threatened in 99. And they didn't, I should add, speak out in favor of the people at KPFA. So I end this by stressing that this whole situation, there cannot be games played locally on the election process. It has to be honestly monitored. It has to be divorced from the faction bullshit. And that has to happen. Otherwise, I may decide to run for the board again. Because I like to fight. I like this political fight stuff. And I'd rather see it an honest election process so I don't have to bother with that.
Thank you. Serene? Serene?
Okay. I actually wanted to begin in a different way instead of responding to all the stuff that has gone on. And you're going to hear all the election stuff tomorrow, and I'm sure you've had enough of it for today. So I'll let that go, except to point out that one half of the family, the ACE / Lisprock / Independent / whatever they'll be next year, caused the delay in the mailing of the ballots. Then others among them sued because there was a delay in the mailing of the ballots. You know, so it doesn't pay attention, okay, folks? Pay attention. Listen, pay attention to the details. What you'll find here is a game that's being played. They shift names. They shift faces for who's going to say what on which day. They work together. Okay. Enough of the elections. We'll come back to that. With regard to the claim that my colleague made that she was removed or that there's a motion to remove her as vice chair, I want to explain what happened here. First of all, she's on the board. She was elected 2 years ago. She also created the list of voters for that election. Okay. I was told that the bylaws doesn't forbid it, although there may be ethical issues in some people's mind that it's not bylaw illegal, something we should fix. But at any rate, she was elected as vice chair this year. And immediately after that legal meeting, she went over to a coffee shop, which isn't even wheelchair accessible, which makes it illegal, even if they thought they were legal, in terms of Pacifica's rules. And she accepted officership in the bogus board, the bogus LSB, the 12-person LSB that has actually seven members of the, I guess I should call them the opposition, since we're using clean language. And she accepted an officer's position in the rump LSB. So, you know, I don't know if you can really have your foot in two houses at the same time. And since she did one after she did the other, it is clear that she does not have respect for the 24 people, the board, that voted that night. And as such, I think she should really resign and save us the trouble of having to waste time at a meeting to remove her.
Okay, thank you, Serene. That's time.
Oh, geez. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you, members of the public, for being so respectful of the timekeeper. It's a great relief.